Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Well, welcome back once again. This is Burning Hearts. My name is Steve Norman, and once again today I'm joined with my friend Chris Baker. We are filling in for Rachel Herbeck, who is on mission in Rwanda, serving on a great team with Renewal Ministries with some great people there. And so we pray for Rachel and the success of the Lord's doing there. But we've had a great opportunity, a great time thus far this week, Chris and I, unpacking this encyclical from JP2, this encyclical that he wrote to help form seminarians, but we are kind of unpacking it as just how to form human beings, any disciple of the Lord. And that encyclical is Pastoris Dabo Vobis, I Will Give You Shepherds. And so JP2's vision is that there are four pillars in formation, and those areas are the human, which we unpacked, and now today we're unpacking the spiritual formation, and then JP2 goes on to talk about intellectual and pastoral formation, which we'll also address over the next couple of days. So Chris, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here, man. It's been a lot of fun. We talk about this stuff quite a bit, and here we are. I have an opportunity just to sit and actually like kind of look at this document a little more formally. So let's just dive in. Spiritual formation, according to JP2, how would you summarize that? What's the one kind of key phrase you think he would use?
Growing in intimacy with Christ.
Okay, so spiritual formation is growing in intimacy with Christ. Now, at the top of this section in the encyclical, I'm going to ask you, this is what he writes. He says, human formation, when it is carried out in the context of an anthropology, so in the root of what it means to be a human, which is open to the full truth regarding the human person, leads to and finds its completion in spiritual formation. What does that mean, Chris? Break that down. What's he saying here? Like that somehow human formation, when carried out, finds its completion in spiritual formation. What do you think he's getting at there?
Well, we said yesterday that it was very important to have a growing level of mastery over your person, your body, your mind, your heart, in order to make a self gift. And I think similarly, the human condition of the individual, just the human person as they are, with the wounds and the grace they've received, all of it, it absolutely impacts our spiritual life.
Okay, so he's saying, yeah, there's clearly just on the human basic level of how you think and operate and what you feel and how you relate to your own desires. Like when we start working on that and orienting that correctly, that it leads to this spiritual formation, a deeper intimacy with Christ, as you were saying. And so one more time, one other quote here, just to look at your understanding. He writes, in the light of revelation and Christian experience, spiritual formation possesses the unmistakable originality which derives from evangelical newness. So again, Chris, the professional here, I ask you, what's he getting at here? What does that mean when he says that there's this newness, it's unmistakable newness that in this process of spiritual formation?
Yeah, right. I mean, as we are working, we're not working on our own, right? This is not a self project, something that we're trying to just make ourselves better or more worthy before the Father, but rather instead trying to cooperate with him and what he's actually called us to do, right? So like in Matthew 5, there, you know, Jesus calls us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And that's a significant command.
Yeah.
And you cannot do that on your own. And trying to do it on your own will land you feeling like a failure right at the end of it, right? Because there is no way to be perfect on your own accord. And so I think in light of this, it is actually allowing the Lord to reveal himself in you more and more and more,
right,
to actually renew your mind, to transform your heart, to look more like his.
Right. It's like, yeah, like more and more. It's like he's never done. It's not the point of, you know, maybe you're studying for, like you were doing your MBA. There was an end in sight. If I do this, this, and this, and I pass, and I do what I'm, great, now I am done. And I am, you know, I have that degree. But in the spiritual formation, this evangelical newness is understanding that this is not our goal this side of heaven to be done, to get to a point where like it's finished in a sense, but more so get to a where, yes, Lord, more, Lord, whatever you want, Lord, in this spiritual formation. You know me, Lord. You know the ways I need to be purified. You know that you have more in store for me, more of your Holy Spirit. And I just think that's an important point to kind of like underscore, when looking at spiritual formation, it's not about getting it right in the sense of getting to a certain point. But it really seems like he's trying to get to like, it's more about a disposition. It's more about this posture of receptivity that enables you to receive that more and to look at it as a process. Now, he finishes kind of like this paragraph in this section with this line, which I love, again, your input on. He says, in this newness, he says, spiritual formation has its roots in the experience of the cross, which in deep communion leads to the totality of the paschal mystery. And so, yeah, I was wondering your thoughts on this role of the cross in obtaining this newness. The role of the cross, do you think JP2 is getting at when being willing to receive from the Lord?
Yeah. As a human, I think it is very easy oftentimes to show up to something, to start something. Mm. It's very hard to stay with it, right, to kind of see it through. And the beauty of the Paschal mystery, right, and to actually live in that rhythm is to die and to rise, to right, die with Christ and to rise with him. But that's scary and it's hard, because to actually go through the full cross carrying and crucifixion with Christ costs a lot, right, and it hurts a lot. And so it's easy when we get really motivated or inspired in a moment to say, yeah, I'll do this goal, I'll do this habit, I'll step up and say, yes, Lord, right now, which is effectively say, I'll take up my cross, but then I'm not actually following him consistently. And so that's where this piece of the newness of the Paschal mystery really comes in, is that we have to be willing to continue to take up the cross,
right,
every day.
Yeah, and maybe it's, the cross that you carried years ago would be quote unquote easy for you to cross, potentially, with the grace of the Lord who carrying it over time, and now he has a new cross for you, potentially. Also the consolations and the joys, and as a great teacher, coach, he brings you to give you the strength of what you need. It is sufficient. But yeah, I liked what you said there at the end of the day. And this to me is connected to the human formation we talked about yesterday, where self-control and virtue, perseverance, temperance, all the virtues in the human formation can better assist you and equip you to receive. It's almost like tilling the soil to receive the grace to carry whatever cross comes your way. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, question for you. I know you're married. You have, like you said, three young kids. You mentioned that the other day. And so JP2, I'm just wondering, is writing this document for seminarians, but here he says that they, priests, but all of us, should live his Paschal mystery in such a way that they will know how to initiate into it the people committed to their charge. Mm. And so this concept that for a priest with a parish or a man with a family or just anyone who knows somebody and they're working with and on their teams or whatever, is JP2 is now saying that it's one thing for you to allow the cross to shape you. It's another to help initiate that into somebody else and to help someone else go through that process. What are your thoughts around that, especially as a husband and as a dad?
Yeah, I would say that takes, constant discernment. And this really goes back to the idea of what this whole area of formation is meant to bring about in you, is the ability in being a sort of increasingly a master of the human side to then be growing in intimacy with Christ, spending time with him in a rhythm of, essentially attaching yourself to the vine, so that constant level of discernment over your people that you're in charge of can be something that you can do and do with the mind of God, do with the in line with the will of God, versus what maybe you feel like that day or what you think is best, kind of devoid of discernment. I think something that makes a big difference being a husband and father is when I'm facing some of the biggest challenges, it's usually not my first inclination that is the right one.
Right.
It's usually the one that I have asked my brothers about. I've discussed with good, holy men that I trust. And it's also bringing it for a while to prayer and seeing what God thinks about it. And then coming back from that to then implement, the will of God, ideally, in my family and in my marriage.
Yeah. What I like about that is like the humility to recognize if it was just up to you, it might not go the way the Lord wants it to be. That to take that time to have that patience and the virtue to discern, to be prudent, and then to act, and then to have courage and to act and move forward. But there is a responsibility of people. Everyone is called in some to give of themselves as a gift in some way. And yeah, it's one thing to learn it for yourself, and then another to try to bring that process to somebody else and help them on their way. Now, I find it interesting, near the middle of this section, JP2 writes that only, you know, if future priests, so through a suitable spiritual formation, have become deeply aware and have increasingly experienced this mystery, this Paschal mystery, will they be able to communicate this amazing and blessed message to others. I feel like he's saying, it's like, it's when a man, when a human truly experiences the life, the death, the resurrection of the Lord, and what that means for them, and how the Lord is communicating that reality into them, and that they're conforming their life to that reality, then they can go and help other people do the same. But it's almost like he's saying it's impossible if you have not gone through that yourself to then lead others and disciple. Would you agree with John Paul II, Chris Baker?
Yeah, absolutely. I think where this goes in my mind as I, you know, as we read through this and talk through this is really coming back to the authenticity of being able to have said, yes, I have tried this, even maybe over and over and over, if I've failed and failed and failed, but kept getting back up and trying again, because it's in the attempt, it's in the endurance to keep going and striving after this, right? Like, to be called to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect is a high goal.
Yep.
You are going to fail along the way.
Right.
And that's okay. That doesn't disqualify you because of the grace of Christ, because he's asking that you continue to get up and carry the cross with him. And so I think that's a big piece. And just a slight analogy, there's a small little story of someone who was at this party, like a larger kind of extended family party. And he was a friend of the family, and they were all doing this kind of tradition of reciting some verse or psalm or whatnot for everyone. And he had stood up and he recited Psalm 23, and everyone, you know, stood up and clapped, a standing ovation, because it was very well done. And then, you know, they were looking around, and they had this aunt who was an elderly aunt, and she was actually asleep in the corner. And so they kind of, you know, lovingly nudged her and were like, hey, you know, this is what we're doing. Would you like to do this? And so she sits up and she starts to recite the Psalm 23, the same one. Mm. And when she gets done, everyone is like crying. Mm. And afterwards, they were talking with him, and they're like, hey, why do you think that there was a difference in the response? And he's like, well, I know the Psalm, but she knows the shepherd.
Mm. Mm. It was very personal, real for her. She knew the man. She knew, versus just the ability to remember and
yeah.
quote it. It came from a different place. And so in these last few seconds here, would you say like that is the heart, the crowning moment of spiritual formation? You mentioned earlier at the beginning, this intimacy with the Lord is to personify, or not to allow the Lord to dwell more so within a human heart.
Yeah. I would just say to strengthen your attachment to the vine, to Jesus.
Awesome. 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 Well, thanks again, Chris. We just went through the spiritual formation side of JP2's document, and we hope you can join us tomorrow as we look at what he says about intellectual formation. See you then.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.